Good evening. It's time for another bedtime story with Thompson. We're reading The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. This is Chapter 7, The Curate. Seeing no sign of the artillerymen, I left the flaming wreckage of Weybridge and Shepperton behind me and started off along the river toward London. An abandoned boat drifting downstream caught my attention through the steam that was still rising from the river. I threw off my shirt and shoes and jumped into the water to make my way to the boat. There were no oars inside, and I had to use my scalded, blistering hands to paddle. At last, I thought, by following the river I have a better chance to escape if these giant Martians return. Along both banks were deserted villages. Those houses which faced the river were blazing with flames in the heat of the afternoon. I drifted for several hours, too weary and too much in pain to paddle. The sun scorched my bare back. Every so often my fears would get to me, and I would start paddling furiously. By about 5 o'clock my fever and faintness overcame my fears, and I landed the boat just before the village of Walton. After resting a while, amid the tall grass on the bank, I got up and began to walk, talking to myself, but not remembering what I was saying. When thirst took hold of me, I sat down to rest beneath a hedge and probably dozed. When I opened my eyes, the sun was beginning to set. I became aware of a seated figure before me, staring at a faint flickering in the sky. I sat up and quickly and asked, "Have you any water? I need a drink desperately." He shook his head and said, "You have been asking for water for the last hour." For a moment we sat staring at each other silently. I must have been a strange sight, naked except for my water-soaked trousers and socks, my skin scalded and blackened by smoke. He was dressed as a man of the church, but his blankly staring eyes made me doubt his strength and courage. "Why has God permitted these things to happen?" he asked nervously. "What sins have we committed? I had just finished conducting morning services and had gone for a walk when suddenly, fire, earthquake, death, everything gone. My church, the Sunday school, gone. Everything destroyed, swept out of existence." From the wild stare in his eyes, I began to doubt his sanity. And the more he raved and ranted and repeated his questions to God, the more convinced I became. "You must keep your head," I said quietly. "There is still hope."
"There is no hope," he cried. "This is the beginning of the end."
I struggled to my feet and laid my hand on his shoulder. "Be a man," I said. "Earthquakes and floods, wars and volcanoes have destroyed men before, but there is hope."
"Can we escape?"
he asked suddenly.
"They seem indestructible, those terrible creatures."
"They are not indestructible," I explained. "One of them was killed not 3 hours ago, but they will come this way again and head for London. Let us be on our way." End of chapter 7. It was a short one tonight, but chapter 8's a doozy. Good night.